This is Vatican Radio. The U.S. Bishops' Fortnight for Freedom initiative continues this week. Chris Altieri talked with the spokesperson for USCCB President Cardinal Timothy Dolan, Kim Daniels, about the two-week period of prayer and action in defense of religious liberty.
Last year, the Fortnight for Freedom began because of the HHS mandate, which is a government regulation here that will force religious believers to facilitate access to things like abortion-causing drugs and contraception and sterilization. Catholics and people of other faiths really wanted to stand up together against that and to make sure that the public knew the real religious liberty erosion that was going on. That is still an ongoing issue. But this year, we have our Fortnight for Freedom again focusing on religious liberty. And this year, while that's also very much in play and very much a live issue, this year the same-sex marriage decisions have come down, and those will have serious implications for religious liberty.
This fortnight, as the last one, is taking place within a sort of a broader and we do this periodically in the United States, don't we? We sort of rethink the relationship of church and state and the role of religion in public life. So I'm wondering, how do the bishops understand the right order of Catholic engagement in the national conversation?
We think that Catholics should have a really important role to play in the public conversation. Catholics bring rich teachings and ground-level experience to the conversation, and these days our voice is about as countercultural as it gets, particularly on issues like marriage. We stand for a view that marriage is much more than just a contract between two people. We stand for the idea that it's for life and that we see children as gifts to be welcomed, not burdens to be avoided. This is an important voice in the public conversation. It's one that you don't hear very often. And we think the kind of robust pluralism that we've always enjoyed in this country is enriched by this kind of voice.
There has been a sort of a rebirth, this sort of militancy in, and I mean that in the good sense of the word, among Catholics who are excited and engaged. But sometimes people criticize Catholic voices that tend to sound as though they want to make, not to put too fine a point on it, the catechism to serve as sort of a moral proxy for the conscience of the nation. And I'm wondering how accurate a description of what the bishops and what Catholics generally are trying to do and to accomplish in their engagement.
Well, of course, as you know, we don't impose anything. We're all about proposing a different alternative. And again, this these days is a very countercultural alternative. We are just being part of the conversation, adding our unique voice and perspective. What's going on now is again, not Catholics imposing their views on a wider culture, but the wider culture imposing its views on us through laws that will really seriously impact our religious liberty. So I disagree with that characterization of Catholic involvement in the public conversation. We've always been an important voice. We'll continue to be an important voice, not just on issues of marriage and family and pro-life issues, which are so important, but on issues like immigration and poverty, which we are contributing to all the time.
Now, this is an initiative that involves not just the Catholic bishops. They're the ones who have sponsored it and who have organized it. But you have a lot of ecumenical and interfaith partners, don't you?
We absolutely do, because believers across the country recognize that standing by beliefs about marriage, standing by beliefs about the value of human life, is increasingly countercultural, and that means that we have to stand together for our rights under the Constitution and for the idea that we're an important voice in the public conversation. So, for instance, we have been involved with the Southern Baptists here in the U.S. on various issues related to religious liberty during this Fortnight for Freedom. Next week, we have an ecumenical letter coming out that will be signed by a large variety of groups, all standing together for religious liberty and saying we have a place in the public square and it's important that people value it.
Have you been happy with the response on the ground to the various initiatives taking place in dioceses across the country?
I think it's great to see the kind of ground-level grassroots initiatives that you see in dioceses throughout the country. So we've seen many, many dioceses tell us what's going on, whether it be prayer events, whether it be educational events, movies, rallies, just focusing people's attention on what religious liberty is, how important it is to us, and the challenges that we face. And of course, as you know, the most important thing is prayer. I think we've all focused during this time on praying for this important value that's so important to us being able to live our faith in public life.
The fortnight is bookended, as it were, with the two liturgies, one at Assumption Basilica that Archbishop Laurie celebrated at to open, and then at the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., with Cardinal Wuerl will close things out. That's an important part of the iconography of this, isn't it?
Absolutely. We have the two masses on both ends, as you said, and the other interesting event that happened this year that I'm so excited about was a candlelit vigil that happened on the first Saturday of the Fortnight for Freedom on the feast of St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher, when the Knights of Columbus organized a very large group of people to have a candlelit procession to the Capitol where we had a silent prayer vigil, and then afterwards a chance for everybody to get together. Just wonderful. Lots of young adults at the event, families, religious. It was just really showed the broad and diverse face of our church.